Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you got your Bible, open it up to Isaiah 53.
Good job.
Isaiah 53 is the chapter, one of the chapters, not the chapter, but one of the chapters that looks forward towards what Jesus did at the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. It is a prophetic, in other words, it's speaking of something that's going to happen. But I want you to notice that it speaks of it as if it has already taken place with finality. Amen. And I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version as we go through, and then I might look at a few other different translations for some of the verses. But let's go through here. You believe in God tonight? Amen. Let's look at what the Word has to say. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? You others say, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground, and had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. How many of you know Jesus became a man just like you and I? Amen. He didn't come and there was, you know, there was no halo around his head. All right. There wasn't anything. You couldn't look at him in a crowd and say, well, that's got to be the Messiah. God taught us that lesson already, didn't he, when he picked David to be king. God doesn't look at that. But he says concerning him, you know, that there wasn't anything to look at that made him the Messiah. However, he was fully. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now he's talking about him as he goes to the cross here. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I always like to look at that as we pass by that. So many other translations here bring out the idea of the word griefs and the word sorrows from the original language mean more than what we use them today in English. The Amplified Classic said, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weakness, and distresses. What did it say? Surely. All right. Let me say it to you this way. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, there's no doubt involved in it. Your sicknesses, your weaknesses, your distresses, mine, the whole world, Jesus bore them. And I love what someone said, I heard one time, what he bore, I need not bear. If he's already carried it, why am I carrying it? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amplified goes on and said, he carried our sorrows and pains. Our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, looking at him at that time, they thought God, that he had disobeyed God, excuse me, and God was punishing him. All right? In fact, the Roman soldier, when the Roman soldier said, surely this must be the Son of God, I don't think he was saying that because he just realized, had a great revelation. He was saying, only God could punish somebody like this. Now, we are going to find out God is the one who did it to Jesus. I want you to understand, the devil didn't put our sicknesses and our diseases upon Jesus. The devil didn't put our sin upon Jesus. The devil didn't put our eternal death upon Jesus. God did that. Amen. In fact, the devil was happy. He ushered Jesus into the bowels of the earth. The Bible says that 3 days later, he wished he hadn't. Right? Look at verse number 5, I'm back in the English Standard Version here. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And we know the Bible says with his stripes, the King James, with his stripes, same word, means wound. Literally, others say with his bruises. All that he endured with that, not only physically, it was not just, he just didn't bear our sicknesses, our diseases, and our sin. Physically, he bore the spiritual root of it all. How many of you know until sin entered in, there was no such thing as sickness and disease? Right? So all, I used to hear Brother Hagin say this, and I would always, you know, trying to figure it out. It was always going over my head. I kind of understand a little bit now. I don't say I fully do. But he said, we have to learn how to minister healing to people's spirits because healing is spiritual. And when you do that, it'll take care of the physical. Well, think about what happened when Jesus came. He came that we might have what? Life. And that well of water springing up into everlasting life. That life is in our spirit. And that life, that same life, is the healing power of God. We tend to kind of divide God out sometimes. You know, well, there's a healing anointing, and there is. And there's a preaching anointing, there is. And there's a serving, there is. But it's all of God. And it's all the same anointing. It just depends on what you're called to do in some areas. But all of us, how many of you know the Bible says all of us are called to share the gospel? All of us are called to lay hands on the sick, right? All of us are called to cast out devils. All of us are called to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, that doesn't mean you'll ever preach on the stage at Rhema Bible Church, but that's all right. Amen? I mean, anybody could preach at Rhema Bible Church. Zach proved that this morning. He did it very well. I'm giving him a hard time. Amen? I know it wasn't his first time that he was at Winter Bible, but I know the first few times I preached up here, I could hardly stand. I was like, this podium's too close to the edge. Can we move it back, you know, because... And I see some guys, they just walk around in there, no way. I'll never forget one men's conference, for whatever reason, nobody was there to make announcements, and I had to make announcements. And Kenneth E. Hagin was sitting right there. I never looked that way one time, the whole announcement time. I just announced to everybody over here. So I didn't want to see what he was doing. You know, if he's looking at me like, no, but I swear I did that. All right. But Jesus here, he was pierced for our transgressions. Now, when we read that, when it says our, don't just think about the whole word. Make it personal for you. He was pierced for, and put your name in there. Jesus was pierced for Tad's transgressions. Glory to God. He was crushed for Tad's iniquities. Upon him, you got to put your name in there. And with his wounds, Tad is healed. Well, if you are, see, R is plural, but Tad is an is, just one. Right? Like somebody said, well, if you are, you is, and now faith is. When are you healed? Right now. Right now I'm healed. Let's keep reading here. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that's a great thing here. You know, sometimes we make general statements and we include everybody in a statement, but here's a statement we want everybody included in. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Why? Because it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how, you know, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, he was a zealous, zealous Jew. Right? I mean, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he said. He had a pedigree. He said, you know, I was above my peers and all these things. But you know, even him had gone astray. Even he had to have his iniquities laid upon Jesus. It doesn't matter how good you were, how bad you were, the iniquities of us all were laid upon him. And that's something that we need to understand. I know, I used to hear Pastor Pat Butcher there in Carrollton, Kentucky, the Family Worship Center. I worked for him for a little bit over 6 years. And we'd go around, you know, people, you know, he'd invite people to church, and some of them he'd known all of his life. And they'd say, oh, I can, you know, if I ever went to church, ha ha, the church walls would fall and they'd cave in if I ever came into church. And he just looked at him and said, there's no VIP centers. No, all of us the same. You're not so important of a sinner that you're going to scare God. Amen. But that's a great statement there that all of us had our iniquities laid upon him. Now look at verse 7. This is where I want to read it all, but I want to come back here and say some more about verse 7, if I can get past it. But we'll look at it. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now, when we go back up here and we read some of these other things, you know, talking about he was bruised, crushed for our iniquities, the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. You know, we teach that. Well, if he bore our sickness and disease, we don't have to have sickness and disease, right? If he bore the chastisement of our peace, we don't have to. If he paid the price for it, we don't have to have it. Well, here's some other things. You know, he was oppressed so you wouldn't have to be. He was oppressed so you wouldn't have to be. In the next chapter of Isaiah 54, it said, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. He said, it's going to come at you, but not by me, says the Lord. But we can live, he said, in righteousness shall you be established, and you shall be, that's talking about us today. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, not in Tad, in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in him, and I'm established in it. And I'm supposed to live far from oppression. Why? Because Jesus was oppressed, so we wouldn't have to be. Now you say, well, what are you talking about oppression? You're just talking about in your thinking, in your mind, you're talking about somebody that's depressed. Well, that could be part of it. But all oppression is of the devil. Turn over to Acts 10:38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now, I just gave them Isaiah 53. I told, but they're so good up there, they'll find it here. Acts 10:38. I'll stay in the English Standard Version so that we won't have to switch versions there. Hallelujah. You know, it's just important, I think, that we remind ourselves what we have and who we are because of Christ. Not because, you know, I'm special Christian. You know, I don't have any greater benefits in Christ because I'm the Dean of Rhema than you do. Amen? You know, I thought there might be a better benefit package. But no, I found out I got to believe God just like I did before. Amen. You know this, I found this years ago. I heard a minister say this, and I found it to be true. You know, the righteousness of God in Christ still has to mow the grass. Take out the garbage. Put your dishes in the dishwasher. And rearrange the dishwasher that everybody else does not know how to load. Is she smiling? But that's true, right? I do that, don't I? She finally has told me, which I should do all the time, quit griping about it and just change it. So I do. I just change it. And sometimes I don't gripe. But anyway, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus, Son of God, but Jesus, the man of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So if we make this, and I believe we can, because Jesus didn't heal anybody because he was Jesus, Son of God. He healed because he was anointed by God. It says that was good. And all that were healed were people who had been oppressed by the devil. But yet, when he went to the cross, he bore that oppression. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted. So why? We don't have to be oppressed. We don't have to be afflicted. You say, now, brother, you're talking about living in a fantasy. I've had people tell me, well, you just live a fantasy life. Yeah, leave me alone. I'm having a good time. It's great not being bound by sickness and disease. Now, I realize the outward man's perishing and the inward man is renewed. I realize that. You know, I used to have more hair than I did now. Hey, man, I'm not that concerned about it. It's waiting for me when I get to heaven. Some of you have heard that. I was teaching at a Bible school, teaching this to a group of ministers in Africa, and I was talking about, you know, Enoch walked with God and was not, you know. I said, that's what happened to my hair. I just spending so much time with God, some of it got so excited, it just went on already. When I get to heaven, it'll be waiting there for me. They're writing this down. I said, no, don't write that down. I'm joking about that. A little bit. But I believe when you see me in heaven, I'll have a full head of hair. Not that that matters anything, right? But oppression is of him. So going back there to Isaiah, verse 53:7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. When? At the cross. Not when he was on earth, at the cross. He was afflicted. Look at this verse. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. In other words, a lamb that you're taking to slaughter, and sheep that you're going to shear them, you know, get the wool off them. They remain silent. So he opened not his mouth. Now listen, he remained silent so you wouldn't have to. When the oppressor comes, when the afflictor comes, when the shearer comes, when that wants to slaughter you comes, open your mouth and speak the word of God. Speak to the mountain. Amen? He remained silent so that we could have a voice. Pastor Zach talked about this morning about David. David, you know, he showed up on the scene and he couldn't figure out why everybody's standing around not doing anything about this giant that's talking about God. The same giant's in the earth today. You know that? It's the devil. That's who Goliath represents. And the devil, he has the same. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to enslave your followers. I'm going to kill you. That's the same devil. He hadn't changed a bit. It just might get packaged a little bit. But it's all based on fear of death. I'm going to kill you. But if we're going to have victory, this is what I was looking at this today, but during the week, and it just kept impressing on me. If I stay silent, then I'm not going to walk in the benefit of him being silent. And we're going to have to be like David and speak to this giant. Amen. This giant of godlessness. This giant that mocks our faith. This giant that mocks our God. It says, we've got to become like Elisha. We've got to take the mantle of Elijah and take it and smack that river and say, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the healing power of God? Where is the delivering power of God? Where is it, God? Amen. Not just go through and let life happen. Let things take. Where is that healing power? Where is the life that God promised us? Amen. See, David said, look, you uncircumcised Philistine. What's he say? You that have no relationship with God, you are not going to defeat the armies of God today. And like Zach pointed out, listen, it may not make some other people in your camp, even your king, might not be happy about it. That you won the battle. They'll be happy you won the battle, but they might not like where you go after that, where God takes you after that, but that's not your concern. You obey God. All right? Now, here's the thing. I can't be David in your life. You have to be David in your life. You have to speak to your mountain. You know, you don't call Pastor Bill up and say, Pastor Bill, would you please speak to my mountain this week for me? He's speaking to his mountains. Amen? Amen. And don't turn that song that Elvis sang about the mountain, you know, this time you gave me, you know. That'll be depressed. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Elvis, who's that? All right. You know, there are people alive today that have no idea who Elvis is. All right. I know it's hard to believe. But. All right. So he said, like sheep that before a shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. We don't have to be that way. So when oppression starts coming, and we've got to learn to recognize it. How do we recognize oppression? Is this of God or is this not of God? Did Jesus do something about it or did he not? Now, Jesus broke it down this way in John 10:10, stealing, killing, and destroying. That's the devil, right? But I've come that you might have life. So anything that has to do with the other, that's not of God. Now, I wish that we could just sit back and you know, in our reclining chair or whatever it is, your favorite chair on your couch, whatever it is, sit there and just sit there and all these things would just happen for us just because, you know. There's some that kind of teach that way. Well, you know, Jesus did it, so whatever you're having in life is whatever Jesus wanted you to have. No. Jesus didn't act like that. And Paul didn't act that way. None of the New Testament writers act that way. They went out and preached the gospel. They went out and used the word of God. They went out and were led by the Spirit of God, just like we have to be. So I want to encourage you, don't ever, ever just allow these things to take place in your life. If you're being oppressed and afflicted in your finances, start speaking and start acting. Start declaring yourself. Quit saying, oh, I'll never afford that. I could never have that. You got to stop that as a thought. You know, there in when Jesus talked about, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness and all these things shall be added. You know, before that, he made an interesting statement the way it's recorded in the King James. I don't think it's a mistake. I think it helps. It says, take no thought saying. You know, the moment I say that thought, I've made it mine. I've possessed it because I said it out of my mouth. And we know this, words are seeds. Words are seeds. And so, you know, we try to get instant harvest, but it doesn't work that way. It's seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. If we continually, every day, you've heard Pastor Craig talk about it here, that he continually has said, COVID-19 cannot live in my body. Continually said it. Continue, not just once a while, every day, several times a day. But what happens when you do that? You planted seed all the time. You're planting seed. See, our words are powerful. We are the only created being that has the ability to choose our words and have them control our life. Now, angels can speak words, but they don't have the right to use their words. If they speak something other than what God said, they get kicked out of heaven. Right? And that's what happened to a third of the angels, the Bible said. They have the ability, but not the right. We have the ability and the right. Why? We're made in the image of God. Hebrews 11 says God orders everything by his words. His words. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The ages. Well, we can frame our life by our words. Now, I don't think, you know, you need to go back and necessarily just have God. I don't know if we could take it. If we could have God bring to our remembrance everything we've ever said. But I think some of us ought to pray for crop failure. That those seeds don't come back. Those seeds of doubt and negativity. You see, listen, it's okay not to understand something. It's okay to not fully see it. But quit talking about how much you don't understand and how much you don't see. And start saying, I've got the Holy Spirit. He leads me and guides me into all truth. My God has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding is enlightened. Amen. See, don't speak oppression on yourself. Don't speak affliction. Speak what Jesus did. I'm free from it. You say, well, you're just talking about perspectives. Absolutely. Perspective is very, very important. From what perspective are you viewing your situation? From the finished work of Christ? Or I got to do it myself? Did Jesus pay it all? Did Jesus win the victory? Is he the Alpha and the Omega? Does he have the keys of death, hell, and the grave? Yes. And am I a joint heir with him? Are you a joint heir with Christ? Yes. Then that's the perspective I have to look at it. So my perspective is I see everything from my seat at the right hand of God. Tell your neighbor, you're seated with Christ. Now, if I fail to see things from there, then everything looks like a big problem. Everything looks like a challenge. How am I ever going to overcome this? I don't see how we could ever. Listen, I don't have to see how. I just know. You know, if I just look next to me, I'm seated. You know, I'm not seated next to Christ. I'm seated in Christ. So right here is God the Father. And the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. Laughs at what? When the devil says that he's going to do this. When the devil tries to get us all into it, he just laughs about it. So every time a problem comes around, our perspective probably ought to be just laugh at it. Well, you act like you just don't have, no, I didn't say be irresponsible. Amen. You know, I'd like to blame the devil for all my problems, but sometimes it's just me. Amen. How many of you know if you spend more money than you have, the devil didn't cause you to go into debt. You did. Amen. But thank God, God's a God of miracles and forgiveness. All right. Let's keep reading here in verse 8. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich men in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Look at verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Who crushed him at the cross? God. God did it. Jesus didn't go to the cross because the devil took him there. Jesus went to the cross because of the plan of redemption. He went to the cross for you. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. I want to read that verse in the Young's literal translation, verse 10 here. And Jehovah has delighted to bruise him. He has made him sick. Now that's that word, it said grief in another place, but he has made him sick. If his soul does make an offering for guilt, he sees seed. He prolongs his days. And the pleasure of Jehovah in his hand does prosper. God made Jesus sick with our sicknesses so that we wouldn't have to be sick. God made him that. God did that for us. What a plan God had. The plan of redemption. It's a wondrous plan. I mean, throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 3 on, that plan is being unfolded, yet the devil never figured it out. And most people didn't figure it out. God would speak some of it here. He speaks some of it through this. We know we're reading here what God spoke through Isaiah. I mean, but even then, even when Jesus went to the cross, they didn't quite see it, did they? Finally, Peter said, quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, you know, by his stripes you were healed. But it wasn't until God gave Paul the revelation that this was what Jesus came to do, and that great plan of redemption, Paul called it the mystery that was hid in the ages. Now again, it wasn't a mystery to God. It wasn't a mystery to him that he was going to bruise Jesus. It wasn't a mystery to him that he was going to place his sickness on us. It wasn't a mystery to him that Jesus was going to be oppressed and afflicted on our behalf. But it was a mystery hidden. And those there that day, that Roman soldier said, surely this has to be God's son. Thinking, like it says up in the earlier verses, that we thought that this man was despised, left, and that God had punished him. God hid his face from him. Remember, Jesus did say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hallelujah. God did this for us. So back here in the English, going back to the English Standard Version. Let's see here. Oops, no, that's Acts 10. Sorry about that. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Now listen, if God crushed Jesus, he did it so you wouldn't be crushed. I don't care how much is trying to come against you. I don't care how big the wave. Any of you ever gotten put to the bottom of the ocean by a wave and you didn't really, and it held you there for a while and just kind of tumbled you around like you were nothing? Amen? You know, you can look at me and tell I could probably make a pretty good anchor. But I never forget a few years ago, I got caught by a wave I didn't see was coming. I was up in the wave and I was getting back up and the next one hit and I didn't know it was there. And I was on the bottom. And it kept me down there for a while. You know, and if you're not used to it, your mind, you don't know where you are. Sometimes life does that, doesn't it? But hey, listen, Jesus was crushed so that you don't have to be crushed by life. Glory to God. He's taken that Honest. You say, well, how do I get it? Well, that's where we have to spend time in his word and spend time with him and do what he tells us to do. See, immediately obey God. Immediately obey what the Spirit of God tells us. He was crushed him. He's put to grief. Now, you know, grief, just in the natural, you know, we know it can mean sickness, but you know, just grief in and of itself. There's folks that live their life in grief. They see everything through their grief. Now, I want to say something to you. And I hope you understand how I mean this, because I just had a dear friend of ours, somebody that I'm not related to, but somebody that my children called uncle growing up, just passed away. But let me say this about it. No one's going to live forever, ever, except the trumpet sound and we are on this earth. You understand that? But we don't have to grieve like the world grieves. Now, I'm not talking about missing the person. I'm not talking about, it's not a sin to shed tears. It's not a, you know, I go to these, some of our memorial services here, and I don't really know the person. But when they start showing that video of all the pictures and all that, and I see them with all their family, I'm sitting over there wiping tears. I've got tears. I'm like, that's just being, you know, that's just being alive. Are you alive? Anybody alive in here? But I'm not going to let grief define me, because he was made grief for me. If anybody ever had a reason to grieve, it would be God Almighty, the Father God. Think about this. The Father God who created man and put them on the earth. And they were just, Adam was just as much the child of God at that point as Jesus. And he disobeyed God. And God had to remove him. But he never viewed man through that grief. He viewed man through his plan of redemption, to what he was going to do for him. Amen? Now, could you imagine God sitting on the throne grieving like the people grieve? And then 10 years later, he's still grieving? And 10 years later, he's still grieving? Guess what? We'd still be lost. Amen. Now, I'm not saying we don't miss the person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, it's not wrong to, you know, get emotion. It's not wrong. But I'm saying we cannot live life and view life through grief. Grief will kill you. It will shorten your life on this earth. And it will cause the life that you live on this earth to be lived far below what God has for you. Amen? How many of you know that when a Christian dies, they're not dead? In fact, they're more alive than they've ever been. And we're going to see them again. All right? And so we can't live life through that. I know one of the things that, you know, that I think is a great thing that we do around here when someone passes, about 6 months later, we'll give the loved one a phone call. How you doing? You know, just checking with you. It's been just to check, you know, because family needs to stay with people. That's one of the things that helps people, is when family stays, not just, you know, all of a sudden. Yeah, it's great that we have that initial surge, but the continual care and love of a family and just checking on people. And so many of the times, you know, I've talked to some and they said, well, yeah, you know, I'm doing great, that, you know, of course I miss them, but he said, so many other people have stepped up in my life and have made, you know, and kick. And, you know, you get those testimonies. Now, others that haven't had anybody, they can be struggling. All right? Now, when I talk about this, listen. When we talk about this, it's not that the grief here, that we're just cold to it and that we ignore it. Ignoring something is not faith. But we have something greater than the grief. It's the hope. The hope that we have in Christ. All right? So apply the greater and grab hold of that and see life through hope, not through the loss. Does that make sense to you? But if he bore all these other things, if he was oppressed so we didn't have to be oppressed, right? If he was afflicted so we didn't have to be afflicted, if the, by his stripes, he bore stripes so we could be healed, we didn't have to be sick, then we don't have to grieve because he was put to grief the way that the world grieves. Amen? All right? And then listen, it doesn't help anybody to go slap them and say, quit grieving. Thank you for your loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Could you go comfort a worm or something, please? Because you're not good at helping people. Amen. No, we're not talking about being that way either. Amen. All right, I want to get to the end of this chapter. Look at verse 11. Out of anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Glory to God. Aren't you glad he bore your iniquities? Therefore, look at this. I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Jesus stood in the gap for us so that there no longer be a gap between us and God. Hallelujah. Because of our transgressions. Amen. And that's the message that we now take to the world. I beg you, Paul said, be reconciled to God. Come partake of the love of God. Come receive the mercy of God. Because there's no longer a gap. There's no longer a space. There's no longer something that's keeping you separated from God. Jesus bore that for you. Be reconciled to God. Amen? Not, look, you know, good, dirty, rotten sinner. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. Now, that may be true, but that's not the message. Our message is good news. Now, I've never heard anybody, we'll close with this, thinking about this. I've never heard anybody who knew who they were in Christ and knew what God had done for them ever preach the gospel like the other. If you view yourself as from the finished work of Christ and who you are in Christ, then you are more than willing to extend the same mercy and the same love and that same reconciliation to anybody else. But if you view yourself, you can be a Christian, but if you're still a sinner in your thinking, I just sin every day. Why? You don't have to sin every day. You're the righteous guy. You can live holy. You don't know everything. You might do something you didn't know was wrong. But once you find out, you don't do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're not looking. But there's some people that see that. Well, when you live that way, you're conflicted on the inside. And I've seen, those are the meanest people I've ever met in my life. Christians who don't know who they are in Christ. They're mean. Now, I'm not talking about anybody in here. Don't look at me like that. Nobody in here would ever be that way, right? No, we're saying this tonight because we have to keep reminding ourselves, what he has done for us, he did it for us so we can live. How many know Jesus didn't need to be free from oppression? He was. You know, God wasn't sitting in heaven one day and saying, Jesus, we've got a lot of oppression here in heaven. You need to go down to the earth and bear that oppression so we don't have any. No, they didn't need it. I needed it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oppression, affliction, be a thing of the past in your life because Jesus made it part of his. But he rose again so that you could, if he had just died, that'd have been one thing, but he just didn't die. He rose again so you could live, you and I could live in the reality of what he did. Amen. Aren't you glad today? Glory to God. Let's all stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your precious word. Thank you, Father God, for what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Help us, Lord God, to walk in the fullness and the reality of what he has done. And help us to take then that reality to this lost and dying world, Lord God, that the Bible says, let us be that light in the darkness. Let us be that salt that seasons. Let us be that beacon, Lord God, that shines the way to a new life in Christ. And we will not be silent. We will not be silent when oppression tries to rise up. We will not be silent when affliction tries to rise up. But we'll be like David. We'll stand and speak from a place of covenant relationship with you. We give you all the praise and glory for it. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for each and every one of us. This just comes up in my spirit right now. That each and every one of us not only know your will, but know your way individually. Show each one of us your way for us as an individual. So much of it's the same, but then so much of it is different because of individual personalities and circumstances. But that doesn't matter. You know exactly the way. We want to know your way, Father. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus and what he's done. We praise you and we honor you. Glory to God.